ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
The checkered flag, Oscar. Checkered flag. Mate, your pace was incredible.
Speechless. I don't have any words.
Ouch. No words is the sound of quiet, seething rage. Oscar Piastri there barely speaking to his McLaren team after another blunder from them cost him the Qatar Grand Prix and maybe a shot at the world title. Twice in two Grand Prix, the Papaya team has scored a disastrous own goal, and this one came at LaSalle, and Max Verstappen is now breathing down the neck of Lando Norris. Piastri, he's flailing back in third. How did they contrive to bottle this? What of Verstappen and his remarkable pursuit? And why does our guest today actually think Piastri remains well-placed for an incredible world title victory? I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily. Joshua Robinson covers the Formula One for the Wall Street Journal. He is in Doha having left the LaSalle track after an insane Grand Prix in Qatar. How did it go so wrong for McLaren in the penultimate Grand Prix of the season, Josh?
I think everyone realized the mistake was happening right as they made it.
Verstappen pits out of second place.
So Verstappen, having to roll the dice, trying to stay in contention for the World Championship, comes in. He does the opposite of both McLarens who remain on the racetrack.
Verstappen pitted and tilted the balance of this whole race. McLaren, because of that safety car, their tire strategy was thrown off and they did not react in time. And so that put the ball back in Verstappen's court and he was in control the rest of the way. You saw from the reaction at the end of the race, Piastri disconsolate.
Pretty gut-wrenching, to be honest. I think, you know, felt like I drove probably the best weekend I've had this year, if not in F1. So to not have the results is painful.
Norris shaking his head that this was the opportunity that they completely passed up. And now Max Verstappen, I mean, we were talking about the shark being in the water before this. Now he's ready to eat.
It feels like the big bad of Formula One is looming. How were Norris and Piastri reacting in the aftermath? I mean, Oscar has been praised for an unflappable demeanour throughout this season as things have gone wrong, but to hear his body language described by some as broken.
I was trying to get some words out of him after the race. He was broken because he's dominated this weekend. He's comfortably the fastest driver around this track in his McLaren. And Lando said it, I lost a second. Oscar lost to first, he knows.
The images of Zac Brown hugging him and him just looking just squeamish and uncomfortable throughout that interaction. Do you get the sense at all that this could be the final emotional straw that breaks the camel's back for Oscar Piastri in a year where a lot's gone right, but there's been some moments that have gone oh so wrong for the Australian who now sits all the way back in third?
He was at a loss for words tonight, and he's said at various points in the season, or at least hinted, that McLaren didn't do enough to help him with his world championship bid. And that's because McLaren, with the papaya rules, as they call them, were trying to let the drivers sort out which one was going to win a championship on track. They clearly had the best car all season, so it was always going to be one of them. In the end, the people they hurt most was each other, rather than putting enough daylight between them and Verstappen. And Verstappen, who's been on incredible form since the summer break, 5 wins in 9 races, has slowly reeled them in.
Max Verstappen, it's a hat-trick of victories here in the Qatar Grand Prix. The Verstappen championship charge shows no sign of relenting.
And now they're back in striking distance. And, you know, I think he has taunted them a little bit in recent days, saying that if he were driving McLaren, this championship would have been over a long time ago.
But if we would have been in the position of how dominant of a car they had, let's say that championship would have been over a long time ago.
But he's not. He's driving an inferior Red Bull. I don't think there's any secret that it's a worse car this season. But because McLaren are taking points off each other, he's back in the mix. You wouldn't bet against him to finish the job next week in Abu Dhabi.
It was telling to see Lando Norris and his terse reaction to the questions of whether that desire for equality has cost them.
Do you worry at all that by the team trying to play fair, you're both at risk of losing the drivers now?
I know, everyone keeps thinking that. It's got nothing to do with it.
Well, if you could both come in, you would have double stacked and you may have been compromised by that and kept out a bit. Sure. Maybe that's on the team's mind as well.
Yeah, but he didn't come in.
Overall, from the McLaren team, two costly errors in 2 weeks. First, the skid block blunder in Vegas, now a pit capitulation in Qatar. What kind of questions and pressure will be levelled at McLaren? Who's ultimately responsible in that sort of myriad of structure of decision-making?
I think the buck will stop with team principal Andrea Stella, even if he's not directly responsible for each of those decisions. Anything regarding strategy and the overall direction of the team on the track, you know, the idea that they wouldn't nominate a number one driver, that they would let them sort it out, you know, that ultimately stops with him. And it's hard to say they've had a bad season. You know, they produced the most dominant car and they're 1-3 in the driver's standings. They would probably accept that, you know, if you offered it to them back in March. But Norris technically had a chance to become a world champion today. Instead, he finishes fourth, and it just feels like the momentum has completely swung away from McLaren.
Do you get the sense that McLaren will now prioritise Norris, or are we going to see a continued refusal to prioritise one driver as we've seen to this point?
I think they're going to wait as long as possible to make a determination on that, even as late as after qualifying in Abu Dhabi. They'll see how Verstappen does, how each of their guys do. After that, I think they might finally say, hey, if one of the McLarens gets on pole, that's our guy. We're riding with him. Let the chips fall where they may. But it may even be too late for that kind of stuff. Verstappen has the capacity to go win. He'll need the McLarens to do a little worse than finishing on the podium. But, you know, the way things are going, we've seen some other teams who can mix it up. We saw a surprise Williams podium today.
Unbelievable. And that is P3. Amazing. Sorry for my word. Amazing.
So, you made us proud in Baku, and wow, have you done justice to it today. Well done, Carlos. That is absolutely incredible drive.
Mercedes have shown some pace, so it's not guaranteed that, you know, the two McLarens and Verstappen will make up the podium either.
If I had to sum up the overall reaction from Australian sports fans and media publications right now, Josh, it is probably two words. Oh, no. It's doom and gloom right here, right now. But I know that you, an American who is in Doha, is surprisingly bullish about the Australians' chances. Why are you bullish, and what must Oscar do in order to win a maiden Formula One world title in the next and final race of the season?
Oscar needs to win in Abu Dhabi. It's simple as that. And he needs Verstappen and Lando to have quite bad things happen to them, for them to really slide back down the pack. But we can't know that the second part will happen. But I think a Piastri win is more than likely. He is the informed driver, at least as far as McLaren is concerned.
Is it pole for Piastri? It is pole for Piastri! Oscar Piastri, by a tenth of a second, keeps his championship challenge going!
I have a strange feeling that if one of the McLarens is going to do it, it's more likely to be Piastri than Norris. I know the math doesn't bear that out right now, but this is a vibes determination. And for me, Norris just has his mentality, something in his body language, something in the way he conducts himself has broken a little bit. And it just doesn't feel like he can close the job.
Did you get the sense from the McLaren team, from what you were seeing on the ground, were just absolutely shattered by what has taken place in Doha?
Yeah, this one hurt them. I think last week was a shock. And they realized, and the reaction was more mistakes happen. Couldn't see that one coming, but this really stung.
It's a disappointing result overall. We were in condition. We had the potential to win the race with Oscar. Certainly, he deserved that. He was fastest yesterday in qualifying in the sprint. And then certainly the podium was available for Lando, but we lost the victory with Oscar and we lost the podium with Lando. So definitely not the outcome that we wanted.
Is it the kind of thing that results in heads rolling ultimately? I mean, I know there's still a race to play out, so maybe they can save their skin. But if a world title is lost as a consequence of this, there's got to be ramifications, right?
I think it would be harsh for them to send some heads rolling. if Verstappen somehow does this, I mean, what are you going to say if, you know, the one of the greatest drivers of all time actually noses in front at the end? Yes, McLaren could have done better and closed it out sooner, but I think it was a team decision to keep things equitable and to keep both drivers in with a shot. So it would be hard to pin it on any one person and say this person cost Lando Norris a title or put the brakes on Piastri at the wrong time.
Just finally, a word on the big bad, the shark in the water, Max Verstappen. In a year where he lost his team principal, Christian Horner, to scandal, his teammate support has been minimal at best. He has undeniably mostly had a slower car. He's still in the mix for world title number 5. This is luminary stuff, isn't it? This is perhaps the ultimate cherry on the cake.
This, if he does it now, it would be much more impressive than any of his other world titles, except maybe the one he won against Lewis Hamilton in Abu Dhabi. But, you know, that was controversial for many reasons. I don't think there would be anything controversial about this one. It would just be pure racing, pure Max Verstappen, reeling these guys in and showing that, you know, his mentality is absolutely ironclad at a time when these other two guys just don't seem to have the killer instinct to go out and finish the job.
One race remains. Geez, Formula One will be happy. Lots of people will be watching. Lots of people will be engaging with it. I dare say the team at Netflix might be smiling too. Joshua Robinson, thank you so much for your time in the very early hours in Qatar. Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure.
Headlines. There is a bit going on in the Ashes since we last spoke. Usman Khawaja labelled the Perth wicket a piece of excrement after the ICC had rated it very good. Travis Head might have flourished in Test 1 at the top of the order, but he says batting lineups are overrated. He'll play wherever. English fast bowler Mark Wood has been ruled out of the second test as they seek to preserve him for the rest of the series. Did you see Steve Smith is trying eye black? It's like the stuff they sometimes use in the NFL to supposedly help you see the ball better under lights, which feels a little unusual given all the ODI and T20 and even pink ball cricket. Smith has played without it to this date, but I do love the aesthetic. Reminds us of West Indian great Shivnarine Chandrapool and Manus Labuschagne. He agrees.
I'd love nothing more to see him stroll out to the wicket, you know, with the Shivnarines on and go out there and smack them around everywhere.
To get a more in-depth conversation on the above and more, check out The Best Conversation in Cricket, the ABC Cricket podcast with Ed Cowan and Corbin Middlemass. Search for it on the ABC Listen app. Nicola Olaslagers has been named Field Athlete of the Year at an event in Monaco for the World Athletics Awards. The Australian high jumper won gold at the World Champs in Tokyo in September. Olaslagers detailed her journey from cleaning dishes to cleaning up field meets in her acceptance speech.
In that back of the cafe, I would dream. I'd dream about the places where I would try and compete if I could, you know, Monaco Diamonds League and things. And I would dream about what I would say to people if I could ever reach that level. And in that time, it took a lot of belief to even think about that. But even if it was invisible to the world, it felt like I had something special.
Friend of the show, Bruce McAvaney, also won the President's Award for Services to the Athletes. On you, Bruce. The Kangaroos are still revelling in the double perfection of consecutive AFLW titles and two unbeaten seasons. North Melbourne may not lose a game of women's footy ever again.
And there's the siren. They came, they saw, they conquered. The Kangaroos are the 2025 AFLW Premiers.
It was a comprehensive 56-16 victory over Brisbane, a club that's been to 7 grand finals. They're no mugs. That speaks to how strong this Kangaroos outfit is. The A-League men's was mired in controversy over the weekend when a handball ruling dominated the conversation after Western Sydney's 1-0 victory over Sydney FC. But it led to Wanderers coach Alan Thadjic imploring football fans to focus on the good stuff being delivered by the round ball game in this country.
We're the global game and we're competing. Matildas are in the top few in the world. Socceroos made the round of 16. 20,000 people came to watch an amazing spectacle and sing their hearts out. At some point, you've got to be grateful and celebrate the good parts of your game while at the same time trying to improve other parts. And, you know, I'm grateful to everyone who came out tonight. I thought it was an amazing spectacle.
Not a bad point from the ex-Matildas coach. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Poppy Penny. Thanks to Sky Sport, Fox Sport and Formula One for the extra audio used in this episode.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.